Well, the Lord has blessed us with another day where we can come and worship Him and sing songs of praise to Him, and we're grateful for all who are with us, grateful for the visitors that we have, and for the faith that is represented by this group here, and stand for the truth that has been taken. This lesson will be somewhat different than usual in that I'm going to give a kind of a report on the trip to Ecuador. Typically, I like to go from Monday to Monday, so it gives me a week to kind of digest a trip and work on some slides. And well, I got back yesterday, and I made the slides this afternoon, so this will be a little bit more maybe helter-skelter, I don't know. But hopefully, it'll be an encouragement. The brethren down there send their greetings. Every church, as far as I know, that we went to said that specifically, that they want the church here to know that they are grateful for your stand, and they wanted greetings to be sent to you. And several individuals came up to me and specifically said, please give my greetings to the church there. It's a wonderful family that we can be in the house of God, where we can share with one another, and they certainly wanted to share with you in the faith of Christ. Ecuador is a city in South America, kind of in the northwest corner. Colombia is to the north, Peru is to the south. And something I hadn't really realized before, but Ecuador is on the equator. That's probably where they got their name. And in fact, well, this is a picture of that kind of gives a sense of the land structure. Down through the center of the country is the Andes Mountains. And to the west of that is the coastal plain. A lot of agriculture there going to the Pacific Ocean. The Galapagos Islands are off that were studied by Charles Darwin. To the east is the Amazon Basin, the beginning of the Amazon River. And the center part is a very populated part, the Andes Mountains. And Quito is the capital where we flew in and out of. And Quito is about 9,700 feet above sea level. Denver is about 5,000. It's called the Mile High City. Well, this is a 2-mile high city. And so it was rather high. And a lot of the mountains around there, some of the peaks, some of the volcanic peaks, are about 18,000 to 19,000 feet. So the whole time we were in the mountains, it was about 50 to 60 degrees and rained every day. Since it's on the equator, the days all year long are the same length, and there's very little change. They don't have four seasons. They basically, it's either raining or it's not raining. There's a kind of a rainy season. And when we were there, it was raining. It was raining a lot. But it's kind of odd to be on the equator and wearing a coat, a jacket, because it's cool. Now on the coast, it's not cool. And in the Amazon, it's not cool. But there in the peaks of the Andes, it's rather cool. Another map of Ecuador. We, as I say, flew in and out of Quito. There was a church there. After a few days, we drove down to Ambato, a few hours drive. And then about an hour and a half the next day, we went to Riobamba. And then we went off of the mountain range down to the coast to a city of Machala. It was about a 7.5 drive. On Friday, we drove back along the coastal. We didn't go in the mountains. It's harder to drive there. But it still took us about 8 hours to get to Santo Domingo, and then another 3 hours straight up to Quito before left on Friday evening. So that was kind of the itinerary. As I understand, there are about 300 churches of Christ of some stripe in Ecuador, a lot of variations of churches, but with a name Church of Christ, about 300. What would be perhaps considered sound or conservative churches of Christ about 30. Many more churches than what I had considered being in Ecuador. Actually, there are a lot of churches in South America. In Peru, there are several. In Argentina, in Chile, in where Hugo Chavez is, there are Venezuela. There are several churches of Christ there as well. But about 30 churches that would at least accept me as a preacher in Ecuador. As I said, Ecuador is on the equator, and in fact, there's a monument that's built there called the Middle of the Earth, Mata del Mundo, that is at 000 latitude. And if you can see, there is a line here, a yellow line that is drawn with this pole here that goes all the way up to this monument that is at the center of the world, the northern hemisphere on one side and the southern hemisphere on the other. It is very popular to visit here, especially to have being weighed here. For some reason, I weigh about 10 to 15 pounds less on the equator than I do here. I have no idea why that is, and I don't know why eggs balance on nails there and things like that too, but it's an interesting place to visit. Quito itself is a city of about 2.5 million people. I do want to mention one other thing before I get into Quito. Reed Braswell, a guy that we supported here for years at Jordan Park, was known all through Ecuador. Places where we went, where we asked, do you know Reed Braswell? They call him Gregorio Braswell, but they knew him. He had done a tremendous amount of work. He was very well respected there and had done a lot to really encourage the churches there. I was very surprised. Didn't really know his influence there in Ecuador, but he was very well respected there in Ecuador. Quito itself, about 2.5 million people, and it is, since it's in the Andes mountain range, there are mountains to the east and mountains to the west, and in this narrow, somewhat valley of 9,700 feet, it was Quito. So it's very long and very, very populated. This is looking from a center mound in the city down on the older part of the city. If you zoom in a little bit, you see perhaps this grand cathedral. Catholicism is the majority religion. About 80% of the people are Catholic to some degree, many of them nominal Catholics, not much effect on their lives. But nonetheless, about 80%, a majority by far Catholic. Some of the other religions there, Jehovah's Witnesses would probably be next. The Mormons have a presence there, and as well, the Baptists are there, some other denominations are there as well. At this monument, this mound that we were standing taking these pictures, is this image, this statue of Mary. Mary is seen as an angel. She has wings, and she is, if you can make it out in the picture, stepping on the head of the serpent. A reference to Genesis 3:15. Actually, Genesis 3:15 says that the seed of woman would crush the head of Satan. And I believe that refers to Jesus. But somehow in history, they have Mary crushing the head of Satan. So Catholicism is certainly very strong within the country and within the city. I traveled with Frank Walton, who is the preacher over at Gooch Lane in Madison, and he was the main driver of this trip. The church there supports three men in Ecuador, and they wanted him to go and check on the works that were involved and what work was being done by the evangelists. And Frank went there and is right now in Peru checking on a couple of works. Greg Warrick is... went as our translator. He is now living in Panama and has lived in Venezuela. Spent some time in Argentina. He is, and also Spain. He is fluent, obviously, in Spanish. Acted as translator, did a great job as translator. And then David Kinatoa, was the Ecuadorian preacher who traveled with us the whole time to make sure that we didn't get lost or get in trouble. And he was very helpful, a very good man, is a full-time evangelist and very knowledgeable, had some really good studies with him, and enjoyable man to be around. About 40 years old, wife and a daughter, which we'll see in just a moment. The church there in Quito meets in the house of the preacher there. He built an addition to his house so that the church could meet there. And this is looking at the street looking in. We met with just him on Friday, but on Saturday they had a regular Bible study. And so this was the Bible study that we got together. And then Sunday, of course, we met with them as a church. It's a church that has about 40 members or so. And very studious. This is a man, Hugo, and his wife and his daughter, Patricia, during the Bible study. Very diligent, you could see. Very well-marked Bible. And very good folks. We had two sermons both days. I preached both days, and Frank and Greg as well preached those days. I don't think there was any place we went where it was just one preacher. They wanted to take advantage of the opportunity to hear us speak, and I think on at least two occasions, if not three, all three of us spoke. We usually get there and say, "What would you like for us to do?" And they would say, "Well, we want you to preach." Well, about how long? Well, about 45 minutes each. Well, you just want one? No, we like for all of you to speak. So we didn't always do 45 minutes each, but close. They were interested when we were there to hear us speak. And incidentally, you notice in the background there, can't see it too well, but they had a projector. Every place we went except for one had a PowerPoint projector. The economic situation in Ecuador is much better than, say, Honduras, a third world country. I would say they were, if there is such a thing, a second world country. The roads were not full of potholes. The infrastructure there was much stronger. The salary was, it was not anywhere near the American standard, but nonetheless, there were some places of poverty. But the people seem to be doing better than certainly a third world country. There was a baptism on Sunday. A man that had been baptized, Brother Santiago, one of the members there, baptized Carlos into Christ. They built kind of a large bathtub shower that they used as their baptistry. Everyone rejoiced with that. But this is the preacher there, Marcelo Lopez. He's the preacher there in Quito. And we met, I believe this was on Saturday afternoon. He took us to get some Juan Valdez coffee at the mall. And we sat and we studied for some time there. While we were there, a lady came up and somehow saw that we were Americans and wanted to talk to us. She had a son who was here, and she wanted us to try to get him a job, which I don't know is going to happen. But Greg interested her in a Bible study, and so he studied with her the Bible there in the mall. You really can't talk about the work there in Ecuador, particularly in Quito, without talking about the Bible Institute that is there, especially with Marcelo, the preacher. What happened there in Quito, I'm not sure of the year, probably in the 1950s, some institutional brethren went in and wanted to start a church. And so usually what happens is they say, what we need to first start is a Bible Institute. And we will teach people in this Bible Institute. We will set up this board of directors, and we will have this Bible Institute that will then teach the Bible to people. And then what will follow from that is then an establishment of the church. And so there in Quito, they started this Bible Institute, and Marcelo was one of the star students there. He became a teacher, became a preacher of the church that was established. It grew to about 500, and Marcelo was the preacher. Well, the good intentions, I'm sure, that began this Bible Institute to go and teach the Bible to people, turned into what most of these institutes, all of the ones that I've heard of, turn into. And that is a power-driven organization that begins basically a new denomination within a country, where you have a structure of the board of directors kind of dictating what is going to be taught, and a director having almost a power of a pope, and they educate the students in this institute, they send them out, they have control of where these students go, what these students teach, what happens in the local churches is directly affected by what the institute does, the funds that are raised by the church that is established. About two-thirds of it, according to Marcello, go to the institute, and about one-third goes to the local church. The elders have a representative from the institute on it, as well as elders that have the qualifications that you find in the Bible. And Marcello, as he studied more and more, he began to recognize that there was no institute in the Bible. That's not the way they established. Now, when Paul and Barnabas went from city to city, they didn't first establish an institute that then established churches and had their hands in an organizational structure in all of the churches that they started. It wasn't according to the pattern. In addition to that, the abuses of power that were inevitable, turned him off. He said, "This is not scriptural." And so he stood up one Sunday and he said, "Listen, we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the pattern that's there." And he was fired that day, lost his salary, and had to scrounge to try to make ends meet. Well, he continued to preach and teach, and now the group there is about 40. And a lot of the other churches that this institute had their tentacles in, at some point said, "This is not right. There needs to be local autonomy here. We need to be governing ourselves. This is reaching too far." And they were either cut off or they pulled off from this institute. But this is in Quito. This is the front of the institute here. I don't know how many students they have now, but nonetheless, this the story of the Churches of Christ within Ecuador have connections to this Bible Institute. After we went to Quito, we went to Ambato, a city about 3 hours away or so. This is actually looking from the window of the preacher there, and it's a city of about 250,000, 300,000 or so. That was us standing outside of the building where they meet, actually the house of the preacher. He has a room devoted for the preaching. Miguel and Teresa Quinatoa. This is actually the father of David Quinatoa, the guy that's going around with us. And Miguel was also a student at the institute, and also, because of the abuses that were there, pulled away from that. This is the basement room that they have devoted to the worship of the church there. And Frank preached, and Greg translated, and I also preached there. And I think Greg also, I don't know, there's either two or three of us preached there at that service. This is a couple of the new members that are there. The tall guy there is a military man and his wife. They were baptized about 3 weeks previous to our meeting. We obviously did not attend that baptism, but they gave us a couple of pictures. They went out to the outskirts of town and rented a pool where I don't recall their names. His wife was baptized into Christ, and the young man was also baptized into Christ that day. But this was the day that we met together. This is David, the guy that was traveling with us, and this is his wife and his 2.5-year-old daughter, Melanie. This was not everyone, because it was a week night, and several of them had to work. That particular night, there was a carnival going on. But a good representative representation of the church there. A little bit closer look at Melanie, David's daughter. On the wall were some interesting charts. This is a chart of the Church of Christ, with the creed and the number of the names and the names or the members and the organization and the worship and the mission and the plan of salvation and all of the verses. This was on one of the walls of the church. And also, I thought this was also a very good looking chart that they made from the history of the Bible, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaical, and the Christian age, with summaries of that. After we met, went upstairs to Miguel and Teresa's house. They gave us some coffee, and we sat around and studied the Bible until about 10:30. What we talked about was what you talk about here. They had questions about a variety of things. What took us the most time was talking about the role of women. Apparently, in the Institute, they are beginning to teach an increased role of women in the leadership roles, as well as they are beginning to say that instrumental music is a matter of opinion. And in baptism, if you were sprinkled and are satisfied with that, then it's not necessary to be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. And so that is causing a lot of discussions to go on around in different churches there. And we discussed, particularly with this one man here, Segundo, who is actually a member of another congregation here in Ambato, about the role of women in the local church. Very good discussion, very knowledgeable individuals, as we talked about the Word of God. The next day, we went to a city about an hour and a half away, also a city of about 200,000, of Riobamba. And as far as I know, we were the first Americans to visit with this congregation, but found it to be a great group of people. The preacher here, his name is also Segundo, which means second. And I think I wasn't feeling good this day. And so only two spoke. I did not speak at this particular service. Some of the brethren, as they were getting ready to go home at Riobamba. The next day, we drove down to Machala, and we went along the countryside that went down and down and down till we got to the coast. There's some beautiful, beautiful scenery. I don't know if you can read this on the sign, but gasoline was $1.45 per gallon in Ecuador. It is subsidized. If we were able to go into Venezuela, I heard that you could fill up your tank for $2 in Venezuela. We got super for $1.99. Made our little car run really fast. It is described as the banana capital of the world. That was their description. I don't know if it is or not, but they're very proud of the bananas. We saw bananas along the highway. We also saw rice, and this is down along the, getting closer to the coast now. Rice being cultivated, the cocoa, where from which we get chocolate. Much of that was grown. A lot of pineapple and papaya and watermelons. It was just amazing, the variety, the coconuts that were there. And since it's along the seacoast, kind of find all kinds of, this is an octopus that the man is holding up, and something else, and a bunch of different kinds of fish and shrimp that was there in the marketplace. I think those were turkeys hanging there. But Machala, this is the city, again, a very big city. When I thought of going to Ecuador, I thought of the Amazon and jungle and little villages. But these are big cities and bustling with a lot of cars and buses and people. This is along the road here, on the right-hand side is where the church meets in Machala. And inside, is in front of the preacher's house. He built an extension on, or the garage, where the church could meet. Elias Davila is the preacher there. All three of us preached here as well. We stayed there for 2 days there in Machala. So looking back at the church, this is, I guess, the only church we went to that was mixed. There are both blacks as well as Latinos there. I didn't detect any kind of prejudice, any kind of tension between the races. More along the coastline, you find more African, African descent. But many of the people are very white-looking, much like look like me, but much more of the Latino look there in Ecuador. And Ines, should be Aeneas, I think, is the wife of Elias, and she's very hospitable. This is inside their house. They, of course, fed us with shrimp and fish and rice, and very hospitable. Close to Machala is a church in Las Palmas. And in Las Palmas, there were only four there that were actually members of that particular congregation. And in particular, it's interesting to hear some of the stories of conversion. Most of the people were Catholics, obviously, that were converted. This man here, in particular, this is his house where the church is meeting. Can't call his name right now, but he was converted after a series of events. Apparently, his daughter had cancer, and she died of cancer. And that was so devastating to her husband that he hanged himself, which was all so devastating to him that he tried to commit suicide and slit his own throat. But he did not hit his jugular vein. And so they rushed him to the hospital and actually saved him. Well, by a series of events, Elias was able to talk to him and tell him about Christ. And he became a Christian, and now he is one of the leaders of this small group of Christians that meet there in Las Palmas, that meet in his house. And he is a delightful man to be with. And he says, "I thank God I'm alive instead of being dead, and not just alive physically, but alive in Christ." It's great to be with brethren. The last place we met was Santo Domingo. And the church there in Santo Domingo was visited by Olin Britnell. Olin Britnell went to most of these churches. Olin is one of the elders at Gooch Lane. And he has also had a great deal of influence. It's amazing, someone who's willing to take a little bit of time every year and go down and just tell the brethren that you love and appreciate them and do some teaching and help them to stand for the truth. It's amazing how much that appreciation goes and how much strength that gives them. We heard a lot about Olin Britnell while we were there. Well, this church as well, Olin had sent them some Bibles and some communion ware that they did not have. The man who preaches there, here, should have wrote down his name too. I'll get in a minute here. He's the preacher, and he's not supported by anyone. And what he does is, on the street, he sells sunglasses during the day and whatever wares he can sell. And so, obviously, it's not a group of a lot of money. And so Olin sending down some songbooks and some communion trays was a huge, huge help to him. But just a great man, just really enthusiastic and a great singer. He led singing during the services there. And this was an unusual time for them to meet. They just met. We were 45 minutes late because of our travel. They wanted all of us to speak. And Frank spoke for about 45 minutes. And I was afraid I was going to miss my plane. So I said, "Well, no, that's okay." So Greg spoke for about 15 minutes. And I was really afraid I was going to miss my plane. And so they said, well, you want to speak, don't you? And in fact, one of the ladies said, what's wrong with us? He doesn't want to speak. So, okay, well, I spoke for about 5 minutes. But what I told them is that I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell the brethren about you. And I want you to know that there are brethren in other parts of the world that stand for the same thing that you stand for. And I want to tell the brethren at home, I want to tell them that there are brethren all over the world who stand for the same thing that you do. We don't speak the same language. We don't have the same culture. We don't live in the same hemisphere. But we're the same. We are exactly the same. Because we're Christians. We follow the same book. We follow it the same way. When we worship, we do the same things. Exactly the same things that they do. And I said, we're family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, Jesus said that those, we may have to leave father and mother and brother and sister, but if we do, we are going to gain brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and lands 100-fold. And eternal life. And it's amazing. You go down to a place like this, and it's a nice thing to go as a tourist, and you can see all the nice sights and all the beautiful things. It's another thing to go down, and you sit at the table of someone that you don't even speak the same language with. You put your feet under their table, and they serve you a meal. Or you sit in a chair and have a songbook, and you sing a song with them, and you open your Bible with them. And your brethren. And there's an instant closeness there. There's an instant bond that's there. And they come up and they hug you and they kiss you. And they tell you how glad they are to see you. And won't you please stay? And when are you coming back? And there's nothing wrong. You're not afraid of what they kept saying, some particular phrase. Don't let us scare you off, I think is what they were trying to say. Don't let us scare you off. Don't know why they were saying that, but that must have been an Ecuadorian phrase. You know, come back, see us again. When are you going to be there? When are you going to be here again? And particularly, just in the short time we were able to stay with this small group here that met in this rented room, we had that feeling of a family. The man in particular, this is his family. His wife is from the Amazon basin. He went there to chop sugarcane, started living with this family. And this family, the man was a preacher. He taught them the truth. He married his daughter, now has 5 children, and is the preacher there at this church in Santo Domingo. What a very, very, very encouraging trip. Wonderful time. We're able to stay there. And hopefully this has been encouraging to you. I hope that it has been. And as I told them, I think it's important that we don't live in our own little world. Sometimes we can get so self-centered and so in that self-centered world, so selfish in our view of what Christianity is. And sometimes in doing that, we can get so nitpicky with each other and worry about the smallest little things. I think it's important for us to lift up our eyes every once in a while and see the world that is there and see the different peoples that need to hear the gospel and see that different peoples that need to hear the gospel are responding to that gospel. And the church is growing. There are people becoming Christians. And those Christians are exactly the same from country to country, from culture to culture. And it's going to be wonderful when we are going to be in heaven and seeing the Lord face to face and being able to be in this immense crowd of brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through the trials and the tribulations of life, who have made mistakes in life, but who are forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and who have matured and who have grown up, and who are at the feet of Jesus singing praises for all eternity. I long for that time. I'm looking forward to that time where we can all be together again. If you're not a Christian in the audience, we would encourage you to think seriously about Christ. There's a whole lot more to this world than just what we see right around us with our own eyes. There's a heaven that we can go to. There's a God that we can have a personal relationship with. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Repent of your sins, be willing to confess His name, and be baptized to begin a life of faith unto Him, living and growing and maturing in your faith unto Christ. If you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to become one. If you are one, for some reason, have gone back to the world, come back. Because right now we have a chance to change. Change before the judgment day. Won't you come while we stand and sing?